heard a lot of talk about the Great Resignation, but that's only one side of the story. While some media companies and ad agencies feel the pain of trying to recruit workers and incorporate diversity and inclusion initiatives into their efforts, others have seized it as an opportunity to make their companies so attractive that candidates want to work there. We'll talk about that and have a conversation with an HR expert on this episode.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, bringing you unique insights from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Conduit Digital, your elite performance partner for white label digital marketing and the media audit, providing market level consumer insights for more than 20 years. And now, here are your hosts, Corey and Gordon.
Welcome, everyone, to the best 20 minutes or so of your week. I'm Corey Elliott, and that grumpy old cuss on the other end of the mic is Gordon Burrell.
Grumpy old cuss. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. I'm comfortable with curmudgeon. It's a lot more colorful than the boring research guy.
Did I say that? Yeah, okay, I see.
Throwing shadow.
What's going on, Gordon? What are we talking about?
Talking about recruiting. There's just so much going on. You know, we hear about this great resignation, and we're spending some time at our conference to talk about recruiting because we've just heard from so many companies how difficult it seems to be to hire these days.
Right. Absolutely. We just got done with an SMB panel. We are asking local advertisers, too, if they're going to be hiring it for any marketing help. And geez, over 40% of them said there's at least a 50-50% chance that I'll be hiring for marketing help this year.
Yeah, I think that's the big boom this year. I noticed that. Did a great job on your video, Corey's. If you don't watch Corey's Local Marketing Minute, please do. It's up on YouTube or on the website, brillassociates.com. But you outlined it there, and I thought that was fascinating. I just think a boom is coming as, you know, cost of borrowing money are so low and people are wanting to get the hell out of the house, wanting the pandemic to be over. I think we're going to have more of a boom this year than we saw last year in the summer, and that's going to lead to companies needing more marketing help. And that kind of showed, there were some really cool insights, I thought, Corey, in that panel.
Check it out. And I know it's kind of self-promotion, but by understanding what local businesses or local advertisers are searching for when they search to hire somebody to handle their marketing, it really gives an insight of what their needs are and what they think is important to them when it comes to marketing.
So what's important to them?
I'm not going to tell you. No. What's important to them? They're hiring for somebody that has social media management skills, email management skills. Actually, social media management was the number one thing and the most important thing they need. But they also cited communication as very important. So these guys, they really want to understand how to leverage social and email.
So we're talking about recruiting, and the assumption was that we started this podcast was, it's become really hard and the great resignation and everybody's saying, take this job and shove it, right? Okay. But that panel said, I thought that the businesses are finding it easy to recruit these people.
Yeah, absolutely. We asked, it was a small sample because we asked the people who hired somebody to help them for marketing last year, right? So it cut it down a little bit. But of those people who did answer, we said, was it easy or hard? And I think I'm looking at it right now. If I can do math, 55% of them said, yeah, it was easy.
Yeah. I think especially the younger folks, they've got these really strong, at least they think they do, marketing skills. They've learned, they've grown up with this medium called the internet, and they've become masters, at least in some of the social media stuff. So they're itching to get a job where they can have fun and employ the skills that they've learned as kids with their iPhones, right?
Absolutely.
I think we're looking at the confluence of maybe marketing and advertising. If you put those two together, and they do go together, that may be what a lot of media companies really need to understand, is that the job that they need to recruit for people who have marketing skills that the businesses are requiring, plus the skill to say, yeah, so I know about all this stuff. And by the way, we have it and you can buy it from us. So we got a survey I wanted to plug, Corey. Give us a minute about the survey. We'll give you the URL. It's a survey we want you to take to learn about what's going on at your company and how you feel about you know, working at home and whether you think you're going to get, you know, move and take a new job. But Corey, briefly, tell us, you know, what's asked in the survey.
Well, I think you just did. It is all about that. First of all, it's absolutely anonymous because what we want to understand is the mindset of job finders and job seekers and how what's important to them and what isn't and what a company can do, because we've got to help everybody retool for this new employment, and it's going to help everybody. So we encourage you to take it. It's really short. I think it's going to be maybe 5 to 7 minutes. That's about it.
Yeah. One of the key questions in there I loved was, you know, if you're going to consider changing employers in the next year, what's important to you? And so somebody might pick, you know, a flexible schedule and work hours, right? And then we come back and say, okay, how important is that to you? What are you willing to give up or compromise on to get that? And one of them was company reputation, the company I work for, the company mission. So it's like, yeah, if I can get flexible work hours, I'll work for a company that promotes a return to coal-fired generators, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that is going to be fascinating. I think it's going to be an interesting shift how younger people answer this thing as opposed to older people.
Yep. So here's the URL. Go to it, take the survey. How long does it take, Corey? Maybe 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes?
Yeah, I was going to say no more than seven.
Seven. Okay. It's bit.ly/2022hiring. bit.ly/2022hiring, also lowercase. Yeah. Please take the survey. bit.ly/2022hiring. I think you gotta say it three times for it to stick, right?
You sound like a used car dealer.
So one of the complexities in all of this as people are recruiting is, oh gosh, you know, the entire workforce is, you know, white males. So we need to do something about that. And it's great that we're thinking about those things and trying to figure out what we should do to try to make things fairer, better for our companies with all this diversity and inclusion. And I'm excited that we have one of the experts from SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management, on the program today to talk about that. When I talked to her a few weeks ago to ask her if she would present at our conference in Miami, she's going to present on the morning of the 8th, I believe. She's fun. She's a funny person. Monique, she's great. We're going to have an interview with her right after this.
Conduit Digital is the elite white label digital marketing performance partner for successful agencies. We enable our partners to scale by acting as a certified expert extension of their in-house ad operations teams. If you're looking to solve hiring challenges, round out your suite of services, manage account overflow, or deliver best-in-class performance for clients, contact Conduit Digital. To learn more, visit conduitdigital.us.
If you're in advertising, you know how vital it is to have a good grasp of consumer behavior in your market. That's where the Media Audit comes in. The Media Audit provides data on consumer buying patterns and media consumption habits, accessible through an easy-to-use software platform. To learn how to access the data for your market, visit themediaaudit.com.
Okay, my guest today is Monique Akanbi. She's Field Services Director for SHRM, Society for Human Resource Management. So, Monique, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Gordon.
I'm excited about having you because of one thing that you said when I called you to ask if you could speak at our conference. And I said, you know, we look for subject matter experts, but we also look for somebody who's just really dynamic and a stage presence. Do you remember how you responded to that?
I don't remember how I responded, but probably.
It was more or less, I got this. I don't know whether you said this, but it was more or less like, I'm going to be the bomb on stage. But I like that attitude.
That sounds like me. So yeah.
No pressure. So, yeah. You know, we're talking about an interesting subject. We're talking about recruiting, which is hard enough. And now we're talking about a complication, a good one, and that is diversity and inclusion and how companies in the audience should be really thinking about that. So before we get to that, could you just fill us in on SHRM generally for those who don't know about the organization and then tell us about your role?
Absolutely. I would love to. So I work for SHRM, which is the Society for Human Resource Management. SHRM was founded in 1948 and is the largest global HR organization with over 300,000 members. Our purpose is to elevate the HR profession through our mission of empowering people and workplaces by advancing HR practices and by maximizing human potential with the vision of ultimately building a world of work that works for all. So here at SHRM, we're here to support and help CEOs, policymakers, HR professionals, people managers, and workers navigate what's ahead with research, insights, and practical tools across pivotal workplace topics. As a field services director, I support, so we have within those 300,000 members, we have affiliates that are all throughout the country. And I support several states within a defined region, and those affiliates are state councils or chapters.
It seems to have been an increasingly important business. Human resources and recruiting people, recruiting the right people, following policies, laws, guidelines, and things like that. SHRM has always played a really important role, but man, it seems to have gotten a lot more complicated, and never has been there has been a greater need for guidance from SHRM. Have you kind of felt that lately?
Absolutely. And certainly within the last 2 years of this pandemic, I mean, we have seen an increase of our members or just in general visits to our site because of the plethora of resources and guidance that we provide, not just HR professionals, but business owners and business leaders as well, as it relates to this really, really complicated topic of recruitment. I mean, we've deemed the last 2 years as the turnover tsunami or the great talent recession, or just really, we've seen a shift in just there being a challenge in not only just recruiting, but retaining top talent as
well.
Yeah,
they call it the great resignation.
Right? Yes, so, yes, there we go. The great resignation.
So you're here to talk about not only a podcast, but at the conference, which is March 6th, 7th, and 8th. You'll be speaking, I think, on the 8th in Miami. Yes. Thank you again. Mm-hmm. About diversity and inclusion. So it seems, Monique, we've experienced a lot of progress over the past 2 years in advancing the diversity and inclusion discussion at companies. So tell me, is it just exactly what I said, advancing the discussion, or do you see some real progress?
I would say it's a combination of the two. I think the starting point is advancing the discussion and acknowledging like that there is a need to have these deeper conversations as it relates to diversity and inclusion. And the reason for that is if we look at the world around us, we're surrounded by social injustice or racial inequities. And so we recognize that how that impacts or how society impacts us as a human being or as an individual as well, which ultimately impacts our organizations because we're talking about humans and our talent coming and supporting our organization and moving our organizations forward. So advancing the conversation or advancing the discussion, definitely. But what we're also starting to see, even just with having those really tough conversations, that we're seeing progress just in the results where organizations are being more intentional in how they look at diversity, equity, and inclusion and how they integrate that into their business operations and how diversity, equity, and inclusion is a discussion in addition to profit, you know, in addition to key metrics within an organization that is now being a part of the conversation. So I would say it's a combination of both.
So let's get down to the tough question. And one of the questions I think I gave you when we first spoke, and give me a minute here to try to articulate this. Mm-hmm. What kind of practical advice can you give those in smaller rural markets? And we have quite a few folks in media companies out there in rural areas, and it's just incredibly difficult for them to find anyone to come work for them in the first place, because a lot of them are in what's perceived to be an old company, say a newspaper company or radio company or TV company. You know, for God's sakes, it's not as exciting as working at Google or Amazon or even Uber. then. Mm-hmm. So that's tough for them. You know, young people don't want to come work for a newspaper. You know, it's not cool to their friends in a lot of cases. Then mm-hmm. you've got the complication of trying to get them to come to a not so hip market. So, I mean, mm-hmm. La Crosse, Wisconsin isn't Madison, or Jackson, Tennessee isn't Nashville, or Victoria, Texas isn't, you know, a cool city like Austin. So now, okay, so that's tough. Uh-huh. Now you throw in the complications of, oh, well, just don't look for anyone who will take the job. Look at your, you know, current staff and try to add some diversity to it. So how would you respond to that type of challenge of some company that says, gosh, it's tough enough, and now I've got another complication? What would you advise them?
My advice would be to first look internally. I think sometimes it's very natural for us to look at the external circumstances, right? So you mentioned, you know, I may not be in this industry that's so attractive or like it's not appealing to maybe the younger generation or just individuals, or it doesn't align with kind of the direction that our society is going in. And so I always say, look internally. What sets your organization or your industry or your company apart from anyone else? And so even if you are in, you know, a rural area, look internally, you know, and if diversity and inclusion is important to you, you have to kind of look inward, you know, before you do the work outward, you have to look inward. And so no longer relying on the old, you know, this is the way we've always done it, or this is the industry. If you look at organizations that didn't survive, I think for them, it was more of that reliance of we're here, there's a need for us, and we're here to stay. And then as times changed, that changed the narrative or that changed the reality of it. And so practical tools I would advise or just give is just to look internally first. Look at your organization. If you were of the mindset of someone that you're looking to attract, and if you look at your organization, is this somewhere where you would want to work? Is this a city you would want to live in? I don't blame the city or the area so much so, because what we've seen just in general and the transition and workplace and the way individuals make selections of employers and where to go, where to work, it is more about the organization than the area that they live in. And so I would say look internally and just really rethink the way you're doing business, and does it align with what you're trying to achieve? So if diversity, equity, and inclusion is important to you, and this is a goal, and this is what you're looking for in terms of attracting top talent, and absolutely, you want the best of the best, but does your organization or does it represent the best of the best?
Good point. You know, and in some cases, what I asked you was a bit unfair, because I was saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to be perceived as an old newspaper company or an old radio station or something like that. And what we've discovered, Monique, is it really is exactly what you said. It's internal. It's the way they perceive their own company. If they perceive their company as a really hip, cool, interesting company, and look at all the things that we've done, and look at all this great stuff that's happening here, then they just need to convey that and say, well, the perception problem is actually with the candidate. It's not with us.
You know, absolutely.
Let's have them come in. So briefly, we've just got another minute or so. Without revealing too much, tease us a bit here with what you plan to present in Miami. I challenge you to give us the best thoughts on diversity, inclusion, how these companies can view things, and how they can take advantage of your advice. So mm-hmm. What is it?
So I am really excited to join you all. And what I will say is I am going to challenge you to change your mindset. And through the use of data and factual information, really get you to fundamentally, again, rethink the way you're doing things. And does that align with what you're trying to achieve? So I'm really excited to bring some data and best practices to share that hopefully our attendees can take back and really kind of either implement or take pieces of that information to implement within their organization to achieve the goals that they've set out to achieve.
Great. We love challenges, and we also love data or facts. So mm-hmm. that's perfectly in line with what the audience is looking for. Looking forward to having you there, Monique. Thank you for being on the show, and looking forward to seeing you in Miami on the 8th March.
Thank you for having me, Gordon.
Gordon,
Monique said those magic words I love to hear. I'm going to bring data to the conference. I love that.
I knew you would hear that.
Yeah. There are a couple other things that stood out to me. One of them was I've been doing a lot of research on this young group of marketers who are growing up, the 20-somethings that are hitting the workforce and what's important to them. And she mentioned something about you ask, how do you get somebody to live in maybe not such a desirable area? And she said, I think company culture and what the company stands for will override that. And I, from what I can tell from these young people, that's exactly right.
Yeah, there was a great article in Harvard Business Review based on thousands of exit interviews showing the primary cause of poor performance in a company and turnover. I mean, that's the big issue, the great resignation, right, is poor job fit. And, you know, the saying goes, you hire your problems. So the problems come into the company. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me, I think the CEO of Zappos estimates that he loses $100 million a year on poor hires, right? So he famously will pay people voluntarily to leave after a couple months with the company. Not a good fit. You should get out of here. So my interpretation of what she said about looking internally, and I was excited because I thought it was a new concept, was, hey, wait, you know, stop trying to recruit people in. You may recruit problems. You already spent time understanding the people that you have internally. Look internally, develop that talent rather than just looking outside. But I think you might have heard it differently.
I heard it a little differently, in that it links back to this culture thing that, wait, the first thing you got to do is know thyself. You know, the first thing you should do is turn inwards, turn internally and ask, okay, what does our company represent? What are our standards? What are our values? What are those kind of things? Because once I get those lined up, that's what these 20-something-year-olds, and I know I'm speaking generally, want to hear and understand right away, more so than any other time in the past. That's how I heard that.
Yeah. Well, speaking as the oldest guy on this podcast and close to the official retirement age, I'm going to ping you for keep talking about hiring these younger people and remind you that a pretty significant part of the workforce and the coming workforce is actually retirees. They're going to be working part-time as contract workers and bringing their expertise to the table. By 2032, a third of the workforce will be contract workers, and the majority of them are going to be over age 60. So think about that, Corey, youngster, whippersnapper.
Okay, boomer. Anyway, but
thanks for the compliment.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But I think it's whoever understands the difference between wisdom and intelligence and how they can blend together, I think will win, because older folks have the wisdom and younger folks have. I'm not saying older folks aren't intelligent, but I'm saying the new intelligence and the latest things that are going on usually are captured by the younger folks. So together they can make a hell of a team. How about that?
Ah, that's great. I love togetherness. That's wonderful. Just put me with a bunch of young folks. I just got five of them out of my house. They're all in college or settled or something like that. And I'm enjoying it. I don't want to end on a negative note, though. So
there you go.
There you go. No, I think it's a great message. You get the older folks and their expertise and advice, you know, the Yodas of the community. And then the younger whippersnapper folks who've got a lot of new, you know, experience, particularly with the new medium, coming together enthusiastically, a heck of a team. And in the company that has transformed into the new advertising agency, media company of the day, I think you got a very formidable opportunity there.
I think you're right. And yeah, I think if we wrinkle up your head, you could look like Yoda quite a bit.
You know, Yoda has a last name?
No, I did not.
Lehihu. And with that, thanks everybody. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Conduit Digital and by The Media Audit. If you have ideas for future shows or guests, email the hosts at podcast@burrellassociates.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.